Welcome back, everyone. We've got awesome guests today. Philip, founder from Elixir. Philip, welcome. I know you're busy. You're dialing in from Singapore. I know that you're on the road at the moment. Really appreciate you making the time to join us. Absolute pleasure to have you. Obviously, been hearing a lot about what you guys have been doing. We just wrote an article, really interesting. First, tell us a little bit about yourself and then also what Elixir is doing.
Perfect. Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Yeah, with crypto, you just kind of need to live on the road, kind of adapt to the markets. There's a lot of great conferences going on, meeting up with a lot of partners. So, no, I'm super happy to be on. So, real happy on. Real high level on my background. I guess I could start there. So, got into crypto back in 2016 when I started the Carnegie Mellon Blockchain Group. I was the president there until I graduated from CMU. I then started a company called Block Venture, which I ran for a little over 2 years until I sold that to go all in on Elixir. And that was about 2.5 years ago as well. Really high level. So the problem, you know, that we're trying to solve, it really revolves around exchanges, right? So Elixir is a modular DPoS network built to power order book liquidity. And to date, order book based exchanges have had to go through 4 or 5 large centralized names in order to attract liquidity on their pairs. And so, you know, if you're an exchange and, you know, you have, all these different order book pairs, it's very difficult for you to add new markets, and it's very difficult for you to actually incentivize or bootstrap liquidity to those markets. There is no easy way for retail parties to actually come in and supply liquidity to pairs. And so that's really the problem that we're solving. And so Elixir has over 30 exchanges that are launching native features like within the actual exchange interfaces that are powered by Elixir, right, that they offer to their end users. So Elixir is inherently B2B in that regard, and that, you know, we power all of these different order book based exchanges. Essentially, when supplying liquidity, the protocol will algorithmically build and deploy that liquidity on the order books, building up the order books, tightening up the bid-ask spread, and deepening the liquidity on those pairs. So users get a composable LP token that they can then use to lever up, right, or lending, borrowing, right? So you get these kind of new DeFi building block where you take these LP tokens and, you know, do whatever with them. We recently launched our Apothecary, which is something I'm sure we'll talk about a bit here, but we have essentially our version of a points program. You know, we've been talking very closely with a lot of researchers in the space, and they estimate that there's roughly only 150 million in total liquidity on the books, on order books right now in DeFi, across everything, right? At any given point in time, there's about 150 to 200 million in orders. In the first 2 weeks of launching our Apothecary, we've already pulled in north of 100 million in liquidity there. So currently we're live with 3 exchanges. This is the last point I'll mention before turning it back over to you, but we're live on Vertex, RabbitX, and Bluefin. Vertex launched Vertex Fusion, which is their own product. RabbitX launched RabbitX FAMM, and Bluefin launched Bluefin Nexus. We currently power roughly half of the order book liquidity on Vertex, roughly 60% of the order book liquidity on RabbitX, and we power, I think, close to 80% of the order book liquidity on Bluefin. So, you know, if you go to these exchanges and you open up an order, chances are your counterparty is Elixir, right? So we actually are most, you look at the order books, right? We're, you know, anywhere from 50 to 70% of the orders that are there. So I'll pause there. That's really the high level. There's a lot that kind of goes in on top of that, which I'm happy to dive into, but that's the overall vision statement for the protocol.
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot there, like you said. What really interests me is like, let's just go back to the problem. Let's identify what the problem is right now. If you can just give us kind of like, once again, a high level. We've got central exchanges, we've got decentralized exchanges. They obviously function in quite a different way, because if we look at decentralized exchanges, there's obviously, you know, you've got blocks, you've got, essentially, you've got time that is against you when you're trading on decentralized exchanges, and centralized exchanges effectively solve that problem in inverted commas. You guys are primarily functioning in the decentralized space. The biggest problem here is obviously speed, and, you know, order comes in, order gets filled. How are you guys solving that problem from a technical basis?
I think it's a slightly different problem that we're solving, right? We're solving the fact that order books, like right now, if you are you're an exchange and you have an order book, there is no infrastructure that you can use. There is no way to trustlessly bootstrap liquidity to that order book pair, right? You have to essentially offer a market making incentive program. You have to go through one of the big few names that exist, and you essentially have to pay them a bunch of tokens to come in and put liquidity on the books. There is no way for retail users to actually participate in that. So the problem that we solve is Elixir is that trustless primitive that exchanges can lean on to bootstrap liquidity to their order books, and users retain funds, you know, retain the full control of their funds at all times, right? They see, they essentially, the way that it works, funds never actually leave onto the Elixir network even. They go to a smart contract that lives on the actual chain, and then our protocol connects into the exchange via WebSocket, updating orders once a second, building up the order books. User can press, withdraw, funds go back into their account, and they can claim their accrued rewards at any time. So that's the actual problem. I think the one also clarification that I want to say is that actually a lot of these DEXs are, they have off-chain order matching. So DYDX is a good example. They ended up actually like launching their own chain. Same thing as like Hyperliquid, but like Vertex, RabbitX, Bluefin, all these guys, most leading order book based DEXs have actual order matching that order updates don't cost any gas, right? You're just essentially dealing directly with their sequencer. And then when the actual trades go through, they settle on chain. And that's by design, right? So that market makers can update multiple times per second and not pay gas. So that's how those guys are generally dealing with that. We solve the actual issue that face all order book based exchanges, which is, they need essentially this trustless, decentralized solution to actually be able to bootstrap liquidity. And so these exchanges launch their own products, essentially their own native features of their exchange, powered by us on the back end. In order to do that, we actually also have a couple centralized exchanges that we're in talks with around like natively integrating, right? Where even like household name centralized exchanges, where you'll be able to just come in and supply liquidity to their order books, and it'll be fully decentralized, fully trustless. You can see the code, you see exactly how your liquidity is going to be provisioned. It's not the internal MM desk trading against you, right? But users will be able to come in and supply liquidity to a pair and earn a share of the taker fees generated by that market. So I'll pause it. But it's essentially, we solve an issue around bootstrapping liquidity for long tail markets for order books.
Awesome. Yeah, great answer. Thank you. You actually took something that I understood, and now I completely understand it. Like, I sort of understood it, now I completely understand it. The first question that came to mind when you actually mentioned them were obviously market makers. And how does that now essentially, how does Elixir now compete with market makers? Is there competition now? What is that dynamic? What is that relationship going forward? And how do they now, do they now need to relook at their business, or are they just servicing a different aspect of the market?
Well, what will happen is, I guess taking a step back, the original catalyst for starting Elixir really started when we were talking to a lot of these leading market makers and realized that market making in crypto is just fundamentally different from market making in traditional finance, right? Traditional finance, the actual P&Ls of these market making firms is the profit center. So what they make in the market is what they take home, right? Like, that's why you have 1,000 UChicago PhDs, right? But you have sub-second latency, and you have tower research buying skyscrapers over like key fiber optic infrastructure, right? All they're doing is they're shaving down latency. That's because they're competing for alpha, essentially. In crypto, that's not the case. Market making in crypto, a lot of times is, hey, we need you to provide liquidity on the books, and we will pay you a bunch of tokens just to essentially paying for a service. And that is something, there is no reason that a decentralized protocol couldn't do basic bootstrapping of liquidity. And that is the issue. Like, that is specifically that the part that Elixir is looking to disrupt, right? Elixir will never be running super proprietary algorithms that are hedging to Binance and updating 30 times a second, running some neural network. Because at the end of the day, like, we look at the constraints of the system, right? Like, if you are building a decentralized system, you are going to have latency, and you will never be able to compete with a centralized firm on latency. And you will also be fully transparent, right? Like, all of our algorithms are going to be fully transparent, right? So you can go in and you can see the code, you can see exactly how it's going to be provisioned, right? So any alpha will just get essentially arbed away over time. And so the equivalent that I would say that we are, it's almost like it's very similar to like Uniswap, Lping, but for order books. And that's just really the first use case of the Elixir network. We have like household names, AMMs that have multi-chain deployments that are going to be launching their own, and they're building this themselves, essentially pools that will arb across the different, their different AMM chains and push those prices to parity. And so users will be able to supply liquidity normally, like they can on those AMMs, or they can do it through their, like, you know, XYZ name, I don't want to say it right now, X pool, and they supply to that. And we essentially take the prices across the chains and push them towards parity, and they can earn incentives for doing that that are paid for by the actual AMM. So there are all these different, that's like another example use case, right? So it's a little bit, so yeah, it's a lot more kind of like broad in the 5 to 10 year time horizon for this use case that Elixir is trying to disrupt. Primarily, it is the fact that like there is no way for these exchanges to like allow for retail users to supply liquidity and build up order books. They've had to go through these like market making firms, which are essentially running basic humming bot scripts, right? Just to deploy liquidity on the order books. And in return, they get 2 to 3% of the token supply. Like I guess to put this into like perspective, right? So with Vertex, this is one of the things that they were saying to us, right? Where Vertex, if you're listing a new order book market as an exchange, it's actually pretty difficult. You have to go to like Wintermute or whatever firm. And I mean, those guys run a great firm, by the way, like no shade to them, but you go to whatever the firm is that you're working with and you say, hey, I really want to spit up this new market. Can you provide liquidity? And then go, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I can't, there's not a good, you can't arb it to Binance. We have to do it to OKX and we don't have that wired up and we have to revisit the commercial terms of our agreement. I don't really know if we want to do that, right? Now that they have Elixir, they can just spin up a new market. They drop some incentives. Our LPs come in because they want to earn a, whatever 100% APR. They come and they supply liquidity. Boom. Day one, they have liquidity. And then they get they have one other market maker that they love using that just specializes in top of book arbing to Binance. And that's like the really fast. And then you have an active market, right? So that is now possible because of Elixir. And that's not something that could have been done before, right? So now they can be a lot more aggressive with markets.
Wow. Okay. So essentially it's a one-stop shop, not only for retail, but obviously for institutional, for DEXs. It's covering across the board and obviously affording the opportunity for pairs that would normally take days, maybe even weeks to be spun up literally within hours, provided you've got the agreements and those partnerships in place. And there's obviously a desire for, you know, catching whiff in the early days, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's essentially what you guys are looking at, right?
Yeah, well, I think like Hyperliquid really grew because they were super aggressive with new markets, right? It would be like a trend on Twitter and you'd be able to immediately go and like long it with leverage on Hyperliquid. And they also pair that with a really clean product experience and then like, you know, you're set. But the reason that other DEXs haven't been able to do that is because they don't have a solution essentially to do so. And that's something that you can lean on for liquidity like day one within a few hours. And that's what Elixir can provide. So I guess another good example of this would be like for DYDX, like permissionless listings. So DYDX, like, and they've said this like very publicly, wants like 5,000 or 10,000 markets, right? They want anyone to be able to go to DYDX, spin up a new market, just end like, and you know, have it trading, right? The issue there is you can't, if you're gonna have 10,000 markets, like how are you gonna go to like DYDX or how are you gonna go to like Wintermute if you're DYDX and get them to go and provide liquidity on some like, you know, absolute garbage coin, right? So you can't, right? It's you know, there's only a few market making firms and they're only gonna wanna touch certain things, right? And so the way that it's gonna work, right, is now that because of Elixir, what you can do is you can then spin up a market and you can supply liquidity to that pair and earn a share of the taker fees that market is generating, right? So now you can essentially spin up a long tail pair, supply liquidity to it, you get a composable LP token back. And even Elixir, we have this new ELX ETH that we launched. It's a cross-chain liquidity provider token that will backstop liquidity across all of the different pairs that are that Elixir is supporting, right, across these different native integrations. And so one of the things that you will be able to do is we can actually route liquidity to where it's needed the most. So imagine that Ansem tweets about a meme coin, right? all of a sudden there's a lot of taker fees being generated. So the APR jumps on that market for supplying liquidity, because every dollar that's on the books is now earning a lot of taker fees. So the APR goes up, then Elixir routes more liquidity to it. So what will happen is, as you're trading on DYDX on a long tail pair, you'll see the books get deeper and deeper as liquidity is as Elixir is routing more liquidity to that market. So there's all these interesting use cases where that you really couldn't have done before without this primitive, and Elixir kind of opens up those use cases. So yeah, but essentially, yeah, you're exactly right. It's essentially like a kind of a 0-to-1 innovation on that side.
Yeah, I mean, just before you said, I was like, yo, this is what 0-to-1 looks like. I mean, absolutely. What is the kind of like the comparison that we're seeing with what Elixir's doing versus what Intent Markets are doing? Are there similarities? What is kind of like, are you familiar with what Intents are doing at the moment?
Yeah, well, Intents are very similar to order book. I mean, it's pretty much like a limit order at the end of the day. I don't think there's really anything new under the sun when it comes to that. I mean, it's very similar to a lot of the RFQ. I don't know how familiar you are with some of the like RFQ, like Uniswap X or these like other like one inch has like their fusion, right? But I don't think I think really Elixir could actually market make on the intent based systems as well. It's like essentially just an order book. So yeah, this is something that like could really kind of apply, and it is quite flexible in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a loaded question, because for me it seemed like it could be a participant in exactly that market or in that method of delivery, you know. And I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's something that you guys will discuss in the future, but I think it does really come down to, you know, how do you obviously harness that liquidity and then deliver it in a way that allows for people to trade without slippage and all the rest of it, which clearly that's what you guys are solving right now. Is it really about focusing on being resident on one ecosystem or chain, or is it about relying on the DEXs to do that? Do you guys have to set up your infrastructure per se and the contracts on an ecosystem? How does the dynamic work and the possibility for, you know, effective interoperability around this whole thing? Or are you guys restricted in terms of how you can move around on chain?
Yeah, so we're not restricted. This is what is like really cool about Elixir, is that we actually have our own purpose-built like modular blockchain that we built from the ground up for this use case. And so we actually support a bunch of different exchanges across a bunch of different chains, right? So we can kind of go where, wherever the puck goes, like we'll be there. So the way that it really works high level for people who aren't aware of Elixir's tech stack, we have this, without getting too into it, right? We have this modular blockchain that is purpose-built. We have roughly 14,000 validators in our testnet V2 right now. All of these validators are coming to consensus once a second. We pull the exchange feeds, they come to consensus, they sign a cryptographic order proposal that then gets sent off to the exchanges for execution. We have fraud proofs posted to Ethereum mainnet, but funds never actually go onto the Elixir network, right? You can kind of think of the Elixir network as a decentralized consensus engine, but the funds actually stay on these chains, right? So, you know, the funds that actually within Vertex Fusion, right, which is Vertex's native integration of Elixir, those funds are in Vertex, right? The way that they essentially have this, it's essentially like a sub-account functionality where we can issue trades based on funds held in a smart contract, and then the smart contract deposits it. And so we don't actually have access to those funds, right? But we issue signatures based on the funds held there. And what that actually enables is it's fully non-custodial, right? A user can see the funds in the account, they can press withdraw, they can get them at any time. And you know, they know that, like, and then they can also see the actual code for how the liquidity is being provisioned. So they know it's not just me and like our team just running around with APIs doing whatever, right? Like they can see exactly how the liquidity is being provisioned. So so how does that fit in with the cross-chain narrative? Well, this kind of going back to the ELX ETH product that we mentioned, or I mentioned a little bit earlier, is that so we had 100 million come into this within the first two weeks of launching it, of roughly like 100-150 million. That amount is going to be natively cross-chain, right? So that is going to be by minting ELX ETH, you are providing liquidity to DYDX, Apex, Hyperliquid, right? Like all these different top exchanges, Vertex, RabbitX, Bluefin. So all of these are on different chains. Like as it stands today, we support Vertex on Arbitrum, RabbitX on Ethereum/Starknet, and then Bluefin on Sui. So it is really like fully, we are able to plug in wherever there are APIs. These teams have built a lot of cases, like Bluefin, for example, they built the connector to support Elixir. And then we essentially, as well as like the smart contract, and then we were able to just like go live with them pretty quickly. And it's the same high level structure for all these native integrations, right? And so user presses supply or whatever within the actual exchange interface, but on the back end, you know, it's fully non-custodial and trustless.
Okay, so awesome. So we've got a really clear idea and understanding of how you guys look at things from the top down. It's like, okay, well, we're taking care of DEXs. They can allow for users to come in and provide liquidity. I want to get into the users and the individuals, because at the end of the day, you know, our listener base and our viewer base is very much the DGens, the guys that are in the trenches that are using these products. But then we've got the whales as well, you know, who want to get those APRs and they want to get involved on the intrinsic level of what it is that you guys are doing. Can you just talk us through where the opportunities lie for those individuals, not only the individuals, but also kind of like the bigger players as well. But for obviously the benefit of the Blockmates community, like how do they, you know, get stuck into this and become a part of this thing by providing liquidity? What's the starting point for them, you know, from a user base, and what's kind of like the end point for them?
Yeah. So like taking a step back, every single one of these order book based exchanges, the lifeblood of their exchange is liquidity. Like you have to think about it from the perspective of an order book exchange, right? You launch, you're on an ecosystem, you're an order book based perpetuals exchange or whatever, right? And the amount of, you have a bunch of other competitors, right, that all have like their own depth. And if you don't have good liquidity, no one's going to trade on your exchange, right? And the money, like the potential is huge for you, right? Obviously, perpetuals exchanges do tons of volume, and it's because people love leverage, right? And so, you know, those exchanges just make tons of money, and everyone knows that exchanges just make tons of money, right? So if you're the exchange, how do you guarantee that users are coming and actually wanting to trade with size on your exchange? It's liquidity. So every single order book based perps exchange or just order book exchange has long-term liquidity provider incentives. They need more size on the books so that people could come in and trade. That is like every single exchange has that. And it's over like multi-year long time horizons. It's part of like the inflation emissions for these, you know, for the actual currencies. You know, it's usually offset by the actual trade fees. Sometimes they actually just pay trade fees to the LPs. So specifically, Elixir allows for almost like these exchanges to free the market for order book liquidity. Whereas, you know, 6 months to a year ago, they had to just go and pay like these three market makers each like roughly like 150 to 200% APR. When you look at like the actual amount of like dollars that are actually they're providing on the book to how much they're earning, it's like roughly 200% APR. And then now they can essentially free that market to where anyone can now supply liquidity, earn through the same program, and earn a share of these incentives, right? So now the APRs go from 200% all the way down to like 30% or whatever, right? Or 40% where they like stay. So from there's this big value unlock that these exchanges get, obviously, from integrating Elixir. It costs them effectively nothing. They push it to their end users, and they're able to double the amount of liquidity on the books. And also, they're not paying it all to some like mercenary market-making firm. They can pay it out to their own community, which is bullish about, you know, bullish about the actual exchange that they're trading on a lot of times. So it's a lot more aligned. It's fully, you know, decentralized. Bringing it back to the actual question, right? We're unlocking a new source of yield that to date has not been really captured. And so this is something that parties can get exposure to. You know, and that I think obviously like our apothecary is live, so people are farming potions, things of that sort. So that's definitely a way for people who are looking at some of those like pre-launch opportunities. You know, we're gonna have Pendle that goes live in 2 weeks. So that's obviously something that's pretty hyped as well right now. So people will be able to just come in and just buy potions, or they can just earn ETH. If they don't want potions, they could just earn a sizable fixed yield on their ETH. So yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to get involved right now. Long term, yeah, these you will essentially be able to come in, you can supply liquidity to individual pairs, or you could just supply liquidity to ELX ETH, right, which is just one for one with ETH. You can conceptualize it almost as like GLP, but the risk return profile is a little bit different. You're not actually the counterparty to a lot of these get the gains of and losses of traders, right? So it's actually, I think, a lot healthier. Just personally, I think it's more a lot more close to Uniswap V2 LPing from a risk return profile. So yeah, and you'll be able to come and supply liquidity and earn a share of these APYs, right? So and you can do that in either USDC for these perp pairs, or in for the spot pairs, it's 50-50 of the two assets. So that's generally how it looks. And for ELX ETH, it's just straight ETH.
So I mean, I think the answer to that question is probably the most bullish out of everything that I've actually heard in a long time, actually, because you are effectively identifying a value proposition for individuals to come in that somebody or a very close-knit group of individuals would have benefited from in the past. And you guys are saying, well, it's open season. I mean, obvious question around that is how easy is it to come in from a UI UX perspective, you know, to essentially offload that liquidity? Have you guys put a lot of time into that? What does that look like? Where are you at in that journey? Is it still a long journey to kind of like get to? I mean, yeah, just let us know your thoughts around that.
Yeah, our UI is notoriously bad. It's like actually a meme. Like we kind of want to keep it. It's like, it's bullish, right? It's like when Curve first launched, you were like doing direct like contract calls. No, we actually, so we have an aggregator, a community run endorsed aggregator page. And that's, it has like a list of all the different pools, right? But I think really, I mean, obviously the main way that people usually come in and supply is through the actual exchanges themselves. So if you go to RabbitX, you can press pools and you can actually see, and you can supply liquidity directly to pairs and earn APRs on that, right? And that's in USDT, which is the collateral on RabbitX. Vertex is all USDC and that's on Arbitrum, right? So that you'll be able to, I think they're pushing out an upgrade this week to actually allow like finally for people to supply within their actual interface. But yeah, the actual, it's super easy. And then for spot, you just supply the two assets. So, but yeah, long-term, I don't think we want like 50,000 pools on an aggregator page as like the optimal way to get involved. So, the goal is like push a lot of the deposit withdrawal flow to these actual exchanges, which is where the actual funds live anyways. And you know, we'll have the aggregator page, but it'll be kind of less of like the primary way to come in and get involved.
So in terms of the apothecary, how does an individual get involved and what are the benefits right now? Because obviously that's a big push for you guys. There's, you know, it's kind of like you've put a whole lot of icing on that cake. What's the crack there?
Yeah. So the apothecary is, so it's our way of essentially rewarding users who have contributed to the protocol, right? So users will be able to earn potions, which is essentially like a version of points for contributing liquidity or contributing in other ways to the protocol, like running a validator, being active in socials, right? We just announced rituals, which is something that, so our community is crazy. If you join our Telegram, we have a private Telegram, and like there's like, I'm not even exaggerating, maybe like 20 messages per second being sent in there. Like you can't even like keep up. And that's capped to 2,000 members. We run purges, and then we have like a lounge where people can contribute and like be active. And then the best, most active users from there get added to the private community. And then there's ways to get potions through that as well. So anyways, there's a lot of ways to earn potions. We are launching our mainnet in August. So our version of the points program essentially runs till then. And we are distributing 20 million potions through the apothecary. We also rewarded a bit of potions as well to people who have had liquidity in the protocol before the apothecary. So everyone who's ever supplied liquidity in Elixir has earned some potions. No comment on the value of these potions or whatever, but I know that Pendle is spinning up.
Why not? I was about to ask you, like, so what am I going to get for these potions? What's going on there?
Well, Pendle is going to be launching their, essentially we'll be pricing potions through their implementation. I am a U.S. citizen, so I will probably get dragged out in handcuffs if I start talking about it. I think definitely people can speculate on what a potion will be worth or whatever, but we can't comment on it, unfortunately.
That's fine. So obviously there's great incentive, you guys. I like the kind of like the magical elixir, apothecary, all of that. I mean, I think it's obviously themes and communities critical in what it is that we're doing in the space. Without community, we essentially don't have anything. And I think that's one of the beauties of crypto. And I hope we never lose it. I mean, there's a chance we do when it gets bigger, but I hope we don't. Thoughts around, kind of like from a more personal perspective, thoughts around where we are currently in the cycle. I mean, obviously, you know, the product that you guys have built over the bear, and obviously it's now open season for you guys. You get a very different perspective through the order books. What perspective are you currently getting in light of the opinion that you're about to give us around where the market is at?
Yeah, well, I guess first thing on the community point, just to round that out, it's like 100% the most vital. We've been investing a ton of resources into our community, and I mean, it's our community is actually like pretty insane. They call themselves the cult. They like picked it up. They're like, if you join, they like will dip new members in like this cauldron, and they like will take your profile pic and they like cover it in like goop, and they like want you to put it as your profile. It's like crazy. We have people who have gotten tattoos. So there's one guy who's got two elixir tattoos. We had someone last week who painted his car. I mean, if you want, we could include it. Like, we could superimpose it over here. I can send you the images after. But someone who painted his whole car in elixir livery, like they took our old website, took the designs and painted it on his car. And so it's hilarious. So they're awesome. We definitely see the value in a good community. And it's mostly just because, like, you know, these parties are great evangelists. But more than that, it's like, you know, they're just like hardcore believers, which are something that like is just, I mean, people who see the value and the benefit, like it's like the backbone of any successful product or anything, right? It's like you don't have anything if you don't have a community. So anyways, to get to your question, so on that side note, I do think that like regardless, I mean, the price, I don't even really like think too much about like the prices and stuff like that of like where we are in cycles. I do think that like we are in a unique position where if you look at like the chart of venture funding, we're still at very low levels of venture funding, just across the whole space. I think that we kind of are at a weird spot where the market has gotten a lot higher because of institutional flows, but you know, there's like this craze around meme coins, and I don't really see that kind of ever going away. I mean, there will always be the segment of people who get into crypto because they think that they can buy some currency and make a 20x or 100x, right? And if you're working like a job and you're in poverty and you view it as like it's better than buying a lottery ticket, then I mean, that person will always be there. And so that I don't think it really goes away. I don't really participate in meme coins or whatever, but that's something that will be there. Specifically where with this cycle though, I think, you know, we're definitely at a spot where I think a lot of the builders who have been building through the bear now have slightly, but like we have better access to cap. Like if we needed to raise another round, like we could, I have like tons of confidence for that. Whereas like 12 months ago, I was like, look, if we need capital, like it'll probably take us like 6 months nonstop of just like begging anyone to give us capital. And that's just like, that was like just the market conditions after, you know, Terra Luna and Celsius and all these big blow ups. Right. So, I do think we're in a much better spot for builders. I don't see the crazy fervor of like a market top or anything like that, just when you see like really late in liquidity cycles. But it'll be really interesting to see over the next few months how it plays out, especially with these institutional flows. Like Bitcoin's not going anywhere, the space isn't going anywhere, right? So I think people are starting to realize that.
Yeah, I think we realized that even after kind of like what happened with FTX and the rest of it was like, yeah, if this can't kill us, then nothing will. And yeah, I mean, here we are. So I think just in terms of the journey that you guys are on right now, I mean, it's been obviously a grind, but it's also been, it sounds like it's been like awesome in many regards. I think the community that you guys have obviously managed to pick up along the way, because that's the thing, like people don't understand, you know, like you don't craft your community lands up crafting themselves, and then they land up crafting you in the process. And that's clearly what you guys have managed to achieve here. So congrats. Even though you never really had much to do with it, even though you did, you know what I mean. Congrats on that. I think it's really like important to understand like what it is that you guys want to almost, what your intentions are and your goals are, like going into obviously this bull market now, and where do you see yourselves, or where would you like to see yourselves as Elixir, say in 12 months and then in 3 years time from now?
Yeah, well, I think we haven't even fully scratched the surface of what it is, like the full kind of like need for Elixir, right? Like I know that we've obviously talked a lot about order books that need to bootstrap liquidity. That is like definitely, you know, there is only like how many decentralized algorithmic market making protocols is like DYDX going to integrate with, right? It's like one, right? And like hopefully it's going to be us, right? I mean, we're working with them on it, right? But the thought is like, you know, that is like a huge need, and it is one that we aim to solve. Over the next 2 years, right, there are a lot of other use cases that we've been kind of putting off, right? Where it's like, for example, like those AMMs, like tons, every AMM that's out there is live on multiple chains. And they need to actually, yeah, like the prices are different on all of them, right? So it's like, oh, we need to push prices to parity. So like most of the leading AMMs, we have already gotten on board on that side too. We're just like, just to push prices back to parity on major pairs. Like that's all it is, right? And it's like something that is very needed, and they pay market makers to do it. And it's like, yeah, well, like, yeah, there is no other, like, how else are we going to drive that back to parity, right? So that is something that there are a lot of use cases like that. We have centralized exchanges that are interested in natively integrating Elixir. So that is obviously going to be a major, I mean, still kind of falls along point number one. There are thoughts of like, you know, there are a lot of obviously interesting use cases like Athena, right? Where it's like, you know, Athena is getting flack for being centralized in the way that they execute, right? I totally think Athena is incredibly strong. I've run the basis trade a bunch of times myself. Like Athena is not just going to like, in my personal opinion, it's not just going to go to zero in a flash. But you know, I think there are like concerns around, like, oh, is it, can we really trust this thing? Like, is it centralized? Like, how do we know the execution's working? How do we know that the funds are actually there? Right. And it's like, oh, well, things like Elixir, for example, could solve all those issues. Right. So, you know, there are a lot of use cases. What I'm trying to say is like this like Elixir is like in 3 years, I expect Elixir will be three times as more. Like there is no like a lot of protocols kind of hit their diminishing marginal. Oh, we're lending borrowing on XYZ chain. And it's like, okay, we did it and we're the market winner. Like then it's like, what's next? Right. And it's like, oh, we'll go cross chain. Right. You got to keep the community happy. And it's like, well, okay, now you're going into this other ecosystem and you like, is there any real innovation there? Is it just copy paste? Like, sure. Even if you have a bunch of users, then it's like, okay, well, like it's just, for us, the way that we view it is that in 2 years, we will be twice as big, hopefully. And 3 years, we'll be three times as big, hopefully, right? Because it's so much opportunity. I feel like we still haven't even, like, scratched the surface. And our biggest bottleneck, 1,000%, is our developer. The amount of developers that we have on our team and our engineering talent. Like, we are constantly hiring more engineers. And we are still, if you're watching this and you are a talented full-stack engineer, please reach out. Because it is just like, we can't even handle the demand. We have a 6-month queue with like leading exchanges that are building out these like products, as well as other structured products that have billions in TVL that are like, hey, look, we need you guys to solve this use case. We're going to build it for you guys, but we need you to wire it up. Like, so yeah, we've kind of like, I think achieved product market fit, but I think over the next few years is when we'll really start to see Elixir proliferate across all these use cases. And Elixir will serve as this like trustless infrastructure that powers delta neutral liquidity across these exchanges, as well as like just crucial underlying like infrastructure for all these different structured products, right? That need someone like essentially like a decentralized like market maker to keep things in check in a trustless manner, right? Which, I mean, there's tons of use cases for that. So anyways, lots of thoughts there, but I think we really haven't scratched the surface. This isn't something where it's like, oh, it stops with that. Although I think that is like probably the biggest value unlock is like bootstrapping liquidity for order book exchanges, because it is the biggest issue, right? Like that is huge that exchanges are dealing with. They want more liquidity, right? But they also want things to be, you know, stable across chains. And, you know, they want, there's tons of their token projects want liquidity on their centralized exchanges. So there's a team that's building centralized market making, like market making or decentralized market making, but for centralized exchanges for token projects. Yes. So there are like tons of teams in this ecosystem. And yeah, I think we'll really, over the next few years, really solidify. Like Elixir's not going anywhere.
So the thing is though, that it's so interesting. It's like, because the product is so compelling and just completely fulfills so many different and solves so many different problems, like you're almost coming across like this kick-ass salesman, but that's not what you're doing. It's like, there's a real need for this. We're saving people money. We're saving exchanges money. We're also giving people kickbacks that are actually fundamentally real yield product. It's a fundamentally real yield product. Guess what, guys? We actually have a real yield product here, and it's based on market making in probably the purest form, market making in inverted commas. And I was just listening to you speak, and it's like, it's impossible not to be bullish around what it is that you guys have obviously built. I don't think 3x from here is a good number. I think it's probably a 10x, but you'd never say that, then that's fine. And I respect that. So just right now, I think probably the most important thing is, because we're so freaking bullish about this product, I mean, from the Blockmate side, we obviously have seen what you guys have been doing. That's why you're here. It's like, when launch, I know that you guys are doing your mainnet, but it's obviously comes down to, you know, token and all of that kind of stuff. When is that happening? What does that look like? I know that you guys raised a whole lot of money. You're here because you've done your homework. You've built this thing. When is the big day? When can we get stuck in on this thing? Please tell us. Please tell us.
Well, you can get involved now, first off. Our launch is in August. So that's what we're aiming for our mainnet. So with that, obviously, like our TGE will also happen. But yeah, I mean, users can get involved now. They can supply liquidity to any of our native integrations, and they'll earn potions, right? So whether it's on Sui or Ethereum or Arbitrum, you supply liquidity to any of these guys, you'll be earning potions. You can also supply to ELX ETH, and you'll get a 50% potion boost, which is that cross-chain liquidity provider token. The downside there is that you're going to be locked until mainnet launch, but that is by design. We essentially, at mainnet launch, you will be rewarded ELX ETH, and it's obviously you can redeem it back for ETH at any time. And it'll be natively yield-bearing, and it'll essentially, you could similar, it's similar to like GLP, in that like, you know, you'll put a dollar in, right? And maybe one day it's 99 cents, maybe the next day it's $1.01, right? Like it'll fluctuate slightly. So in the actual quantity, but it'll always be redeemable one for one with ETH. So like, you may say like, you know, your balance is like 0.998 and then, you know, it goes to 1.01, right? And you can just redeem it for whatever that ETH kind of amount is, right? So that's the goal, right? Is to be this like kind of natively cross-chain solution to the liquidity, this issue that is plaguing all these different exchanges across all these different ecosystems. Users can get involved now. They can join our Discord. They could get involved in our like private Telegram, right, by being active in our lounge group. And then from there, I mean, yeah, we'll everything's just going to be ramping up till August. So it's just all hands on deck over here.
Cool. So cool to get you on. Obviously, like I said before, like just love what you guys are doing, but having spoken to you, even more bullish, and I'm sure you guys are going to smash it. I mean, obviously, you know, the DeFi natives right now, obviously super, super bullish on what you guys are doing. I can see why. And I'm really stoked that you managed to take the time and join us. And yeah, I look forward to seeing how you guys grow in the space, and hopefully we can get you back after your mainnet launch. I'm sure you'll probably be kind of like exhausted, but I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about then. A lot of developments. I know that you guys have got a lot planned, clearly, from what you've told us, and then some. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. and look forward to watching your progress, and all the best. Cool, thanks Philip. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please like and subscribe. We do appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.